بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
An introduction to the companions.
آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون.
Presented by Abu Hasnain Murtaza Khan.
قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما
Produced and distributed by Knowledge, Books and Audio.
عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عدوا عليها بالنواجذ. Upon you to take my sunnah and the sunnah of the four or the rightly guided khulafa. Hold fast to their teachings or to the sunnah that they mention. عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ Hold fast to it with your mawla teeth. And then the Prophet Muhammad stated about him, مَا دَرَّ عُثْمَانَ مَا فَعْلَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ No matter what he does after this day, it will not harm him. Two strong characteristics that we find in Uthman ibn Affan that we don't find in Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. صَبْرُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ حَتَّى قُتِلَ His patience until he was killed, knowing full well that he was going to be attacked and going to be killed. وَجَمْهُ النَّاسِ عَلَى الْمُصْحَفِ And the collecting of mankind upon the Qur'an. Ali ibn Abi Talib. That his love and his devotion to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to such a degree that he's willing to risk his life. That a person who lay on the farasha, who lay on the bedding, was none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib. That we find that he is from amongst the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to show love and affection to those of his family members who believe is a part of Iman.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ دُلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ دُلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continuing the journey رِحْلَةٌ مَا السَّعَابَةِ مَعَ السَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ The journey with the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بالخصوص الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين In specific the four rightly guided khulafa beginning with Abu Bakr and Umar and are stopping at Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu we stopped on the hadith of Bi'r Aris the well of Aris whereby we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat at the edge of this well and raised his garment and dangled his blessed legs towards the bottom of the well to receive the naseem or the cool breeze of the well. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari left his home early in the morning with the intention to serve the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
and sought permission to be the bawwab, to be the caretaker, or the person standing at the door before entering this well. And the first individual who came following and seeking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was none other than Abu Bakr. So when he entered the gate of the well, or the door of the well, he sought permission to enter. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari returned back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, Abu Bakr is on the door. اِذِنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Give him permission to enter and give him the glad tidings of paradise. He entered and he sat on the right side of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and imitated him in the same action of lifting his garment. The second individual to enter was none other than Umar radiallahu anhu. And once again it was said to him, اِذِنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Give him permission and give him the glad tidings of paradise. And he sat on the left of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The name of this well we mentioned was Bir Aris, but later we find the name of this well is changed to Bir Uthman or Bir Khatim, because Uthman ibn Affan at a later stage dropped his ring inside this well, and he was the third one to approach this well. And when he came and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari returned back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, Uthman is at the door. He said, اِذِنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ وَالْبَلْوَ تُصِيبُهُ. Give him glad tidings, give him permission to enter, and give him glad tidings of paradise, and a balwa tusibuhu, fitna, trials and calamities that will fall upon Uthman ibn Affan, is the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So along with the trials, he will have to face what many people face at the moment, the trials and the tribulations of this Muslim Ummah. Because man will forever go through various trials and tests to find out who are those that are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know that gold is purified in intense heat. The more you burn gold, the more purified it becomes. And the more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, he tests those he loves, the more purified they become and the more standing in rank in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Those are the individuals, when a loss of their wealth, those are the individuals, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتُ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. They are the individuals that after being tested with the fruits of the loss of their lives, their properties, and that which they possess, who state after all these calamities, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong and to Him we return. Upon them is the salutations of Allah and the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showered down upon these individuals. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُحْتَدُونَ. And they are the ones who are rightly guided. Likewise we find in another location inside the Qur'an, أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ, beginning with these three letters, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they just possess faith or claim to have faith and they'll be left alone, that there will be no trial and tribulation upon those people who claim to have iman? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Verily we did test those people before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know those people who are truthful and those people who are the liars. And that's why we find upon manhajul anbiya that the methodology of the prophets is that the most extreme of those tested were none other than the prophets. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ, and those who follow the path and the pattern of the prophets will be tested exactly like the way the prophets were tested. And that's why we find that his tests and his trials, the tests and trials placed upon Uthman ibn Affan. The first thing that we find is sacrifice of one's land and one's family. Al-Hijratain. Two hijras that are performed by Uthman ibn Affan. The first hijrah, ila al-Habasha, to Abyssinia. And in the second hijrah, to Medina. This is the first trial, or the two trials that he became successful in. And first leaving Mecca and traveling with his family to this foreign land and foreign language. And then secondly, traveling once again upon the order of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we find a second trial upon Uthman ibn Affan. The loss of his spouse, the loss of his wife. That the first wife that he was married to was Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qabla al-Nubuwa, he married her before prophethood. And because due to her sickness, that was a prevention why he did not participate in the battle of Badr. And then after the loss of Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, he married Kulthum, another daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then upon her death as well, or he was called Dhun Nurain, the individual with two lights, being married to two daughters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لو كان لي ثلاثة لزوجته. If I had a third daughter who was unmarried, I would have given it to Uthman ibn Affan, are the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sacrifice of his wealth, as we find that the Prophet Muhammad stated, whoever purchases the well in Medina will have paradise given to them. And a Jewish man began to increase the price intentionally, knowing that this is a prime location for the Muslims. And he paid 20,000 dirhams for the purchase of this well for the benefit of the Muslims. The extension of Masjid al-Nabawi, the land was purchased by none other than Uthman ibn Affan, a sacrifice now of his wealth. And in the 9th year of Hijri, where the emperor of the Byzantium reign or dominance came upon to attack the Muslims, and he donated 1,000 camels and 1,000 gold coins towards the cause of Islam. And then the Prophet Muhammad stated about him, مَا دَرَّ عُثْمَانَ مَا فَعْلَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. No matter what he does after this day, it will not harm him. And this hadith is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi and checked by the late Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani. That whatever he does after this day, if he does make a mistake, it will never harm him. Because this is the praise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon Uthman ibn Affan. And in another hadith we find, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِعُثْمَانِ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah is forgiven. May He forgive Uthman of his previous sins and his future sins. Even though there's some da'af, there's some weakness in this narration attributed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we find sacrifice of his life. Sacrificed his land, loss of his family, sacrifice of his wealth. And now he's willing to sacrifice his life. And that is the beginning of the hadith that I mentioned. إِذِنْ لَهُ إِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ وَالْبَلْوَ تُصِيبُهُ. Give him glad tidings and permission to enter, and a calamity that will fall upon him. And that calamity is none other than the killing of Uthman ibn Affan. That he was made shaheed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أول الفتن قتل أثمان وآخر الفتن خروج الدجال. The beginning of the trials and tribulations of this ummah will be through the beginning of the killing of Uthman, and the end of the trials and tribulations will be خروج الدجال, the coming of الدجال. And that's why we find that blood, the spilling of blood, occurred twice in the whole of the history of this world from the beginning of creation. The first spilling of blood was between two blood brothers, the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. That when one killed the other one, that the sin of the killing or the spilling of blood falls upon that brother. And then we find the second time The fitna that occurs in the, specifically in the Muslim Ummah, is the spilling of a Muslim blood, the blood of Uthman ibn Affan. وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاء. The spilling of blood will become common on the land and amongst the Muslims as well. It's a fitna which has never been replaced through the killing of Uthman ibn Affan. Because we find that these people invented false claims about him, that he is placing people that he loved and people of his family in authority. And they even invented a false letter that they claim was signed by Uthman ibn Affan. And the lesson that we learn, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If a rebellious individual or people you can't trust come with some information, فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Seek clarity and evidence for that which is being said about an individual. And then we find that these rioters or these individuals, they laid siege upon the house of Uthman ibn Affan, failed anything to enter his house and stopped him from leaving this house. And amongst those great companions who guarded this house were none other than Al-Hasan wal-Husayn wa Abdullah ibn Zubayr wa Muhammad ibn Talha, are those who stood in guard and protection. And many of the Mu'arrikhun, the historians, they write that the way they entered into this home was via the roof. And they entered there and they killed him. And Imam Suyuti in specific, he writes that when they did make him shaheed, and that the blood spilled on the verses of the Quran, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these people, and He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Many of the Mufassirun take this stance that this is where the blood spilled. It's a mu'jiza, is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah is sufficient to judge these people and to bring them to accountability because of the evil that they have done. And the lesson that we learn, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهُ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't ever think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware of what the transgressing people are doing at the moment. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Verily we are delaying them for a day that when their eyes will be overturned, that when death will come upon these people. So don't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafil, unaware of the atrocities that are being committed upon the Muslim Ummah at the moment. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, as for the spilling of the blood on these verses of the Quran towards the first juz of Surah Al-Baqarah, that this is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise shows the dedication that he had towards the Quran, that the Quran that we read today is highlighted as Mushaf Uthmani, the script of the compilation of Uthman ibn Affan. That if we go and look in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the compilation of the Quran, that a second compilation was the instigation and under the authority of Uthman ibn Affan. And many of the ahadith which are narrated about Uthman ibn Affan, or he narrates, and the most famous hadith narrated about him, or which he states, is خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it to people. Another miracle, that dying whilst reading the Quran, compiling the Quran, and then narrating the most famous hadith about the Quran has been narrated by Uthman ibn Affan. خَصْلَتَانِ لِعُثْمَانِ لَيْسَتَ لِأَبِي بَكَرْ وَلَا لِعُمَرْ. Two strong characteristics that we find in Uthman ibn Affan that we don't find in Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. صَبْرُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ حَتَّى قُتِلَ. His patience until he was killed, knowing full well that he was going to be attacked and going to be killed. وَجَمْهُ النَّاسِ عَلَى الْمُصْحَفِ. And the collecting of mankind upon the Quran. That is two characteristics that did not exist inside Abu Bakr and Umar. And as for the revelation which talks about Uthman ibn Affan, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with those people who took the bay'ah, who took the pledge underneath the tree, some 1400 in number. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. And he knew what was inside their hearts. If you read the tafsir of these verses are talking about Uthman ibn Affan, that when he took the pledge in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, and Uthman ibn Affan was gone to discuss with the Quraysh, and they prevented him from returning back, and the rumor spread that they have killed him. And then the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ took a pledge from every single individual, and then he placed his hand, his left hand on his right hand, and he said, "This is for our brother Uthman ibn Affan, and we will not retract." And what is this pledge? Hatta al-maut, until death. We will seek retribution for our brother Uthman ibn Affan. So it becomes difficult that the lesson that we learn to retaliate against the people who give a pledge hatta al-maut, that until death they will carry on for their struggle for the pleasure, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for surrounded by this harshness and calamities, we find still Uthman ibn Affan, that he is not an individual who is stern and harsh. Rather, he is an individual who is quite the opposite. As we find the famous hadith whereby the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting inside his ghurfa, kashifan an fakhidayhi aw saqayhi, revealing his leg or his thigh, as narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Abu Bakr, he enters, and the Prophet Muhammad does not move. Umar enters, and he does not move. When Uthman ibn Affan, he enters, فَجَلَسَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَصَوَّ ثِيَابَهُ. He sat up, and he placed his clothes correctly. And here, certain misconceptions should be highlighted, that some of the people who follow the fiqh of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh have gone to this opinion that the fakhr or the fakhir, the thigh, is not from the awrah. To reveal your thigh is permissible. This is an incorrect opinion according to the jamhur or the majority of the ulama, that your thigh is a part of your awrah and should not be revealed to anybody. As for the meaning of the hadith, is فَخِذَيْهِ أَوْسَاقِهِ, as many of the shuraf hadith highlight, that the hadith highlights that his calf or his leg was showing, not his actual thigh. And the third thing that they highlight, فَصَوَّ ثِيَابَهُ, he corrected his clothing, meaning that his leg was not even showing, just his overgarment was lifted, but his sirwal, his trousers were still there, and he placed his shirt over his leg, meaning no part of his blessed body was being revealed in the first place. Why did he do that? As Aisha radiallahu anha poses this question, you didn't do anything. You didn't move when Abu Bakr entered. You didn't move when Umar entered. Why did you do such an action? And he stated, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَلَا أَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ رَجُلٍ تَسْتَحْيِ مِنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Should I not feel shy of an individual that even the angels feel shy in his company? And that's why in another hadith that we find, if I didn't do the action, just by looking at me sitting in that manner, he had so much shyness and modesty to find me sitting, if possible, in an incorrect manner, he would not pose his haja. He would not pose what he wanted. He would not pose his question. So I sat up for Uthman ibn Affan. As for what do we learn from this hadith? Inna mimma adraka an-nasu min kalamati Nubuwat al-Ula, the first words of prophethood that we should take a lesson from, that humanity has not taken a lesson from, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْبِحْ لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, if you don't have no shame, do whatever you want to do. Rawahu Imam Muslim. In this heat that we find that these people have no shame, that they will do whatever they want to do and dress whatever they want to do. And here it's debatable whether the leg or the thigh of the Prophet Muhammad was showing or not. Yet he placed his clothes. And how many of us show that type of shame? that al-haya'u min al-iman, modesty and shame and dignity is part of iman. Whether it be one man towards another man, or a woman towards another woman, or towards the opposite sex, that we should have this sense of shyness and dignity not to be behaving in this manner. These are some of the extractions and the lessons that we can learn from the life of Uthman ibn Affan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place these words in a mizan of hasanat and give us a tawfiq and ability to implement these words to the best of ability and follow that path and the methodology of the prophets before us and the khulafa al-rashidin al-mahdiyin. Inna Allahu malaikatu yusalluna ala al-nabi ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghilla lil ladina amanu rabbana innaka raufur rahim. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and coming to the completion of the golden years of al-Islam, in the seerah or the life of those Nubala, Al-Khulafa Al-Rashideen Al-Mahdiyin, there are four great Khulafa who trod on this planet and left behind a great Turath, a great heritage for this Muslim Ummah to look towards them. And that's why we find the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عدوا عليها بالنواجذ. Upon you to take my sunnah and the sunnah of the four or the rightly guided khulafa, hold fast to their teachings or to the sunans, the sunnah that they mention. عدوا عليها بالنواجذ, hold fast to it with your molar teeth. And that's why we come to the final khalifa, none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now we find that he is from amongst the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to show love and affection to his family is a part of iman. In more detail, to those of his family members who believed in al-Islam, who struggled with him and sacrifice and lay down their lives for the sake of this deen, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst those people who claim to be followers or members of his family, that is laqab that we find, and a sayyid, that I am from the noble family or the lineage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, these people have to prove their authenticity. That does their lineage really go back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And what does it mean that even if you are from his family, that you claim to be a Sayyid, does that mean that the Sharia of Islam is lifted from you? That the laws and regulations don't apply to you? And likewise, we find those people who claim, because we are the people of Mecca. We are people who are born in the noble land. We have a preference over the rest of humanity. And this is nothing but asabiya, nationalism, wa jahiliya, and the days of ignorance. Afa hukmul jahiliyati yabghun. Do you return back to the ways of jahiliya, of governance, of ruling, and all forms of etiquette? Because there is no fadl of an Arab over an ajami, of an Arab over a non-Arab, nor is a non-Arab better than an Arab. Illa bittaqwa Allah. Except for the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this lesson has to go out to these people who forever claim that they have a preference either because they belong to the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or quite simply because these people are the Arabs, or they are closer to the teaching of Islam. And this has been highlighted inside the Quran about these Bedouin people who claim such a sanctity. Al-A'rabu ashaddu kufran wa nifaqa. That the Arabs are the most extreme in their kufr and their hypocrisy. And likewise, you find the opposite. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And amongst those who do believe Allah in His last day. And the tafsir of this can be explained by the words of Shaykh Usab ibn Taymiyyah. Al-Arab afdalu an-nas idha faqihu. The Arabs are the most best of people. Ahsanu an-nas. If they understand the teaching of Islam. And likewise the opposite. Akhbathu an-nas. The most wretched and the most filthy of society if they stay away from the teachings of Islam. Is the way the great Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah described the Qawmiyya al-Arabiyya, how these people give preference to themselves over the rest of humanity. And we find, Inna akramakum inda Allah yatqakum. The most noble of you in front of the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who adopts the taqwa, the consciousness, and sticks to the hudud, sticks to the halal, and avoids the haram, is the individual or the people in society who are raised up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for this onslaught that we find upon Ahlu Sunnah, that we don't show love and affection to the members of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this throwing of such statements is none other than people of Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of innovation, people of who are the followers or have the teaching of the Rawafid or Ithna Ashariya, or that in common days that we find people are classified as Ahlul Shia. There are people who forever throw this upon Ahlul Sunnah, that you are deficient in your love and your affection towards the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they play on the masses of the emotions by changing the text, by changing the evidences to highlight that where were certain companions when this was happening, who were the true believers. And even at the burial of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was only Ali ibn Abi Talib who was standing there. Abu Bakr was worried about the Khilafah. Umar was busy weeping, and other companions were doing such and such. Are mere words of kufr leading to disbelief, to question the credibility of any of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And forever we find the Ahlul Sunnah, those people, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you the middle nation, the middle people, that we will never go to the extremes of making ghulu, of worshipping people and raising them up as ranks, as these people have done. And nor will we diminish their value and look down upon them and say that they are men and we are men. But rather the way of Ahlul Sunnah is to follow that middle path and give that respect which has been given to them according to the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why we find in the works of Aqa'id, Minhajul Sunnah, a refutation of these people, whereby once again Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah highlights the belief and the love and the affection that Ahlul Sunnah show to the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we find in the hadith, أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَحْلِ بَيْتِي. I remind you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of my family, the rights of my family, the rights of my family. Is a hadith ma rawahu Imam Muslim. A hadith collected by Imam Muslim. That he's reminding his followers, I'm reminding you the rights of my family, the rights of my family, and the rights of my family. And likewise, you find the verse inside the Quran. فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. It has called our children and your children, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves, and let us place the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon those people who are the liars. This is ayatul mubahala, the ayah of challenge, the ayah of placing a curse forever upon yourself for the rest of humanity. And when he brought out, who did he call out? Allahumma inna ha'ulahi min ahli. He called out Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha and Ali ibn Abi Talib and stated, these are my members of my family that I'll challenge you. Challenge you, Quraysh, wal Yahud, wal Nasara, about anything that you want to claim. These are the members of my family, and I'm willing to let the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become upon my family if I'm amongst those people who are the liars. And he brought him up with his own hands. And his love and affection was due to the fact that the father of Ali, Abu Talib, that even died, mata ala al-kufr, died upon a state of disbelief, and is a person who will forever reside in the hellfire. By the love and affection he showed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the message and during the torturing that he faced, that he showed that I will forever aid the deen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to some degree, even though his final words were not words of al-Islam, but died upon disbelief. And we find in the Quran that ayat talking about his love and his affection, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot guide whom you love. The people that you love close to you, you have no control over these people. That is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he felt this great yearning, this desire, that his uncle Abu Talib should come closer and closer to Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the revelation that you cannot guide the individuals that you love, no matter how much love and affection you show to those people around you. And that's how we find that even the concept of intercession, the only thing he asked his people for, قُلْ لَا أَسَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I ask you for no reward in this dunya, except for to show goodness to the members of my family. إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Those people who are close to me. As the ulama of tafasir have highlighted, this ayah is talking about the members of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we should show love and affection towards the beloved ones to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was born 30 years after the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brought up in his own home. The ideal teacher, the ideal role model, was none other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أنا مدينة العلم وعلي بابها أنا بيت الحكمة وعلي بابها. That all these words of wisdom, indeed these two ahadith, as Imam Suyuti says they are Hassan, but late Shaykh Nasruddin al-Albani say فإن هذا الحديثان موضوعان, that these two ahadith are fabrication. But the point is the point of evidence of hikmah, that the way that he conducted himself was learned in the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was learned from the gatherings and the teachings, and to forever be in his suhba, in his companionship, to learn the beautiful way of how one should conduct themselves. And that's how we find that the story of his acceptance of Islam, that when he saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a state of praying, and Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha praying as well, and an extraction has been made by some of the ulama, that there was no distinction between the way a man was praying and the way a woman was praying, that as it would have been highlighted straight away by Ali Ibn Abi Talib. And we find that his love and his devotion to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to such a degree that he's willing to risk his life. That a person who lay on the farasha, who lay on the bedding, was none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib, knowing full well that he could be attacked and he could be killed by the enemies, by the Quraysh. And this love and affection between the two is not mere lip service as we find in today's society. That the love and affection went to such a degree that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented his most beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Shows that this is not a lip service, love and emotion and affection, but deep conviction in the heart between both of these two great individuals. Firstly, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he gave him the laqab of Abu Tarab, that you are the father of the dust. That even when there's a mushajara, a dispute between Fatima and Ali ibn Abi Talib, his own beloved daughter, whereby he would stand for her, kiss her forehead, and let all of the rest of the Bedouin see that this is the way I treat a woman, this is the way I treat my daughter. Then a dispute took place between Fatima and Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. May Allah's mercy be upon both of them. And he found him lying in the masjid. Lying in the masjid. But first he went and he entered upon Fatima and asked her, where is Ali? She said that something happened between us and he's gone out of the masjid. He's gone out and he's preferably in the masjid. When the Prophet Muhammad SAW enters into the masjid, he finds him lying, rolling in his cloak, lying there. And he says to him, Kum ya Aba Turab, stand up, O father of the dust. Words of love and affection. Once again, Shura'ul Hadith highlight, did he rebuke him? What did you say to my daughter? Is there any words that you said to her? Rather, he said to him, stand up, Abu Turab, O father of the dust, stand up. As a form of alleviation and love and affection, that never mind whatever has happened, just get on with the rest of your life. And this is the whole justice system of Islam. I'dilu huwa aqrabu littaqwa. Be just and fair, that is closer to taqwa. That when Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she complained about the slaves that entered, and she requested a servant for her own self, and she said to Ali, go and claim one of these servants for us. Look at my hands. This is the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at my hands. Swellings on my hand. Cuts on my hand. Ask him to give us one servant. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have laid down the whole of the dunya at the exposure of his beloved dunya. But instead he said to Ali, go back and say tasbih of subhanallah 33 times. Walhamdulillah 33 times. Wallahu Akbar 34 times before you go to sleep. And that is better for you. فَمَا تَرَكَ عَلِي بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبْ. Never ever did he leave it. Even in the days أيام الفتن. In the days of fitna, he said, I will never ever abandon the advice given by the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. That is more beloved to him. And that was more beloved to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. That he advised his daughter and his son-in-law, go and make adhkar, go and make dhikr, than to seek the remnant or the blessings of this dunya is better and more befitting for the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's why we find that his relationship between the father-in-law and the son-in-law, that his love developed to such a degree that in the sixth year of Hijri, in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, in the Pact of Hudaybiyah, that when the Prophet Muhammad is told to remove Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah, from the treaty, Ali ibn Abi Talib refuses. There is no way am I going to ever rub out the name of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise we find in the days of Khaybar, the battles of Khaybar, whereby the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, لَأَتِيَنَّ هَذِي رَايَ رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. I'm going to give this raya, this flag, this post, this pillar to an individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. And so does the Messenger love that individual as well. يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory to that individual. Upon his hands there will be victory from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is an individual who loves Allah and his Messenger. And that's how we find, if you read this story in great detail, كُلُّهُمْ يَرْجُونَ أَنْ يُؤْطَاهَا. Every single companion all night began to think, I want to be the one who is given that flag, to raise that banner, because this is an individual Allah and his Messenger love him, and this is an individual who loves Allah and his Messenger. وَقَالَ عُمَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ مَا أَحْبَبْتُ الْإِمَارَةَ إِلَّا يَوْمَ إِذٍ. I never ever sought to be a leader amongst my people except for that day. That is the only time in my heart I had a burning desire that I am the individual that should be chosen by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But instead in the morning, فَدَعَى عَلِي بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبْ. He called for Ali ibn Abi Talib. يَشْتَكِي عَيْنَيْهِ. He was complaining of a disease, a sickness in his eyes. فَبَسَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي عَيْنَيْهِ. The Prophet Muhammad spat inside his eyes. تَبَرُّكْ. A blessing, and he was cured. And then he gave him the imara, gave him the leadership. And this is from amongst Mu'jizatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the miraculous deeds of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find that he told him the etiquettes of warfare. Is another lesson that people need to learn. قَاتِلْهُمْ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Fight them until these people testify that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, what did he state to him? That his people say that we are thirsty for blood, that all of our wars are about bloodshed, about rebellious behavior, of atrocities and terrorism and harm. What are the words he said to Ali ibn Abi Talib? فَوَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ يَحْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if one individual is guided through your preaching, through calling him to al-Islam, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ تَكُونَ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَكَ حُمُرٌ نَعَمْ, is more better and beloved than the red she-camel, which is a prized commodity in the time of the Arabs. That this should be your first instance, your first preaching towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these people state that our first retaliation is retaliation of blood. It is only calling to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when all efforts have been exerted and there is no other choice but to return back to such methods of warfare. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. As we find the battle of Tabuk in the ninth year of Hijri, whereby we find that Ali is being left behind with the women and children in Medina, and here we find many of the Ahlul Shia using this hadith to promote their own views, and he stated to Ali ibn Abi Talib, أما ترضى أن تكون مني بمنزلة هارون من موسى غير أنه لا نبي بعدي. When Ali complained that why should I be left behind with the women and the children, and he stated, do you not find it befitting, do you not find it an act of rejoicing that I am leaving you in a position like Moses, like Musa left Harun in that position? And the people Ahlul Shia want to highlight that the right of Khilafah belongs to Ali before Abu Bakr. And this is an incorrect understanding of this hadith. In any wording of these hadith, do we find the concept of khilafah? Why do we find manzila, position, position of authority at that location and at that point? It is not a highlighting of he is the khalifa, the first khalifa, these people want to highlight. And secondly, these people commit an excessive ghulu, that some of them claim annahu nabi, that he is a prophet. And this evidence shows in this hadith, أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي, that there is no prophet after me. And there's a third group of individuals who take Ali ibn Abi Talib even beyond the level of prophethood, as these people exist in Syria at the moment today. أَنَّهُ إِلَهُ, that he is God. He is a deity, is a belief that exists in amongst many of the people in the noble land of Asham at the moment. And we find the way of Ahlul Sunnah is not to give any preference. The only debate that lies whether Ali was better than Uthman. As for to place Ali better than Abu Bakr and Umar, then there is ijma consensus. The Ahlul Sunnah refute this. The only time they can accept the debate is whether Uthman was better or Ali was better. And even those people who claim that animosity existed between Umar and Ali, then why did Umar marry one of the daughters of Ali ibn Abi Talib? Or why did one of the daughters of Ali marry Umar ibn Khattab? And if we continue to read the works of these people who follow the trend of ghulu, of excessiveness, or the things that they believe in, the things that they preach, that they highlight, it would be sufficient if they took such narrations where there's discrepancy. Man kuntu mawlahu fa aliyu mawlahu. Whoever's protector I am, then Ali is that individual's protector. And if people go on, that another ila wajhi al-Ali ibadah, that to look at the face of Ali is worship, is clear ghulu, clear excessiveness, that these such statements are nothing less but fabrications. And we find that these people, that how can you respect such people who state فَقَاتِلُوا أَئِمَّةَ الْكُفَرِ, and fight the leaders of disbelief. And they say that the leaders of disbelief are Zubayr and Talha, great companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ, when Musa alayhi salam said to his people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا, Allah subhanahu has ordered you to slaughter the haifa, to slaughter the cow. فَقَالَ أَحْلُ شِيعَ, the people of Shia state, فَإِنَّ الْبَقَرَ هِيَ الْعَائِشَ, that the cow is none other than Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. These are in their works and in their beliefs. It becomes very difficult for Ahlul Sunnah to come to some understanding of people Ahlul Shia, when they defamed the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't ever curse my companions. Don't ever revile them. And like I define, إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَاسْكُتُوا فَأَمْسِكُوا أَوْ أَمْسِكُوا فَأَمْسِكُوا. If my companions are mentioned, then restrain your tongues. That whatever happened in history, the battle of Siffin or the battle of the Jamal, that the way of Ahlul Sunnah is to restrain their tongues and to stay away from such concepts. And that's how we find that finally about the justice system of Al-Islam, that even toward the final days of Ali ibn Abi Talib, that people rebuked him, that why the great bloodshed, turmoil and upheaval in during your reign? And he said these words which should be written with gold ink, that at the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, they were ruling over people like me, but in my day and age, I'm ruling over people like you. And that shows that those golden years will possibly never ever come back again, whereby the governors and the people who are governed are people of adl and justice and taqwa. And even in the end, that we find towards the end of his life, that he gave a justice to a Jewish individual who lied and claimed the shield, the armor which belonged to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And when he called his own slave, the judge said, you know fully well that according to Islamic law, a member of your family and a person who works for you cannot testify for you. And he stated, well, I don't have no other shaheed, no other witness, so give it to him. The Jewish man returned and he said, you are the Amir, you are the Khalifa, it is your Islamic law, your governing system, the shield belongs to you, yet you do not retaliate and take it from me. I declare that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to understand these words and to implement them to the best of ability in our lives. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله.